You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome back Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle Wright. Rebecca is a global specialist in exoconsciousness, a term she originated to define the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness. In 2008, she wrote the book, Exoconsciousness, Your 21st Century Mind. She has a Master's of Divinity from Boston University School of Theology and a doctorate in parapsychic science from American Institute of Holistic Theology. She's also a certified hypnotherapist and coach and has had a number of other ET races communicate with her since the age of 3. You can find her work at www.exoconsciousness.com. So let's find out what she's been up to these 3 years and welcome her to the show now. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Well, you know, it was so pleasant to have a mutual friend of ours, Timothy J. Glenn, bring us together for another show. He was the instrument. And I just love Timothy's work. And, of course, he is an extraterrestrial. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt. I have great admiration for Timothy. When I can't remember. I think I learned of him through Laura Bruno's blog. She was posting some of the things that he was writing about. And the minute I started reading his work, I just felt this wonderful affinity to everything he said. And since then, we've become friends. And it's just a wonderful connection.
Well, the same thing happened to me, and I read some of his writing, and I just instantly had this feeling that, you know how it is when you connect with something that resonates. And
yes.
And then I found out that he was friends with several of my guests, Laura Bruno and Anelia Benz, and I just had a momentary blank. But in any case, I'll try to think of it before the end of the show. And that we're all friends. And then I discovered months later that he does readings. And I had a reading by him, and honestly, in my estimation, he is the best person to give readings that I have ever encountered. And I've, in the last 8 or 10 years, I've encountered a few people. So, and then, of course, he does other things. He has beautiful crystal bowls, and he chants,
yes,
and he channels the Pretarians. I suppose he'll pull something new out of the hat the next time I see him.
Did he do a soul reading for you? Is that what he did?
Yes, he did. Yes, it was wonderful.
Oh, I'm going to have one of those.
Yes, you have to have one. It is absolutely, utterly amazing. I swear to God, it is so worth it. I mean, I think everybody should have a soul reading by Timothy.
I agree. I'm going to get in touch with him and do that.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. You were just at the Phoenix MUFON, right, on the 18th? That was just days ago.
Yes. I lived in Washington, D.C., and was back in Phoenix to do MUFON.
And I don't attend all those conferences. I kind of keep an eye on some of them. Sometimes I do go. But how are they progressing, and what was your impression, what were some of the things that you covered while you were there?
Well, MUFON is an interesting organization. In 2005, I taught, I called it Extraterrestrial Reality. It was just an overview of ufology at Scottsdale Community College in So I have a pretty broad background in the whole ufology movement, how it came out of the late 40s into the 50s. And there were, at one time, four or five different ufology craft investigative type of groups. And now today, it's just kind of siphoned down to just one group, which is MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. And their primary focus is examining the data and the witness testimony and the scientific facts behind that can be ascertained behind craft readings. So they have a little bit of a different viewpoint than I go into in terms of exoconsciousness. Mm-hmm. But I've always been affiliated with MUFONs. The Phoenix MUFON in particular is extremely pioneering, cutting edge. They do a lot of consciousness work. They're they bring in people who do research in a broad spectrum of areas around the paranormal. So they're a little bit different than I would say a more mainstream type of MUFON group that would be represented, for example, at the MUFON convention that they have every year, or maybe at other MUFONs in other states. But I think, I feel that on the whole, MUFON in general is going to have to move into consciousness. Because if it doesn't, it's just going to be stuck, because scientific examination of craft, it leaves primarily in a Newtonian science, and you know, we're all moving into quantum physics, subjective science, consciousness science. So,
and psychic intelligence, as you mentioned in our last show,
right.
And then once we are all on the same page with the psychic intelligence, then there's total transparency, and then the shadow government doesn't get to continue to exist or evolve.
Well, that's one of the. It's a well known fact that that MUFON has quite a few people from the government and intelligence circuits.
Right.
That have been, you know, active. For example, when you go to some MUFON meetings, there'll be quite a few people from who are retired or, you know, currently involved in the government and military. One of the things that I talked about in Phoenix is that it's true that who we research, who we get our information from, we become. So literally, we become our sources. Mm-hmm. So whatever you pick to study and whoever you use for your whoever you appoint as your experts or whoever you appoint as your sources, That's who your mind and your consciousness become. So I've been increasingly concerned through the years that organizations like MUFON and actually like the disclosure movement, quite frankly, only go to the military, government, and intelligence sources.
Right, right.
That's the person that they feel holds the most validity. That's their expert. And therefore, it's becoming a movement of government and intelligence as a result.
Right, right. And then people complain about it, that they've taken over. But the fact is that handed it over on a silver platter.
Well, even in this in the disclosure movement, I think in 2010, I was in D.C. at a conference, and it was made very clear there that anyone who was an extraterrestrial experiencer was working more in, you know, a quantum-based kind of science, that they had to wait and get out of the way because ufology had to only be vetted through these, you know, government and military sources. And,
right.
Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all of that history has gone to naught or gone for naught, because
I
think it's an amazing body of evidence. I went to the citizens' hearing that Stephen Bassett did in D.C. last spring. An amazing work put together by Stephen. Mm. All I am saying is that we need to move into the next steps, or we will not be able to move into the future.
So how do you see that happening? If we were to, let's say, in an ideal world, and you could wave a magic wand and you could have anything you wanted, and that would be, you could design the way that we step into this, how would you have it occur?
Well, I actually think that we are stepping into it. I believe that we are in the midst of it. One of the things I talked about in Phoenix was I call exoconsciousness a perfect storm, because it's the blending of consciousness science with extraterrestrial experience. So actually in 2010, I did a radio show with you, and then subsequently I began working with Dr. Edgar Mitchell and his Quantrek group. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
To a degree, yes.
Okay. Well, Quantrek is primarily for zero-point energy research and applications. So what I began to do was to work with Edgar in this zero-point energy nonprofit. And as a result of that, I began to go on this steep learning curve in terms of physics, math, general science about zero-point energy as well as consciousness. And so I became affiliated with a great number of scientists that are doing amazing work, some in institutions like universities, but many of them on their own or working maybe through Institute of Noetic Sciences in California. Well, what these consciousness scientists are doing is actually looking at consciousness not as the brain, but as the field around
right.
us.
Right.
So that consciousness would be, as David Chalmers says, as Deepak Chopra says, as Dean Radin says, you know, consciousness is a fundamental principle, like mass, like energy, so like space, like time. So they are beginning to look at consciousness in a different way. So my point, calling it a perfect storm, is that when you put this science, this consciousness science, overlay it on top of ET experiencers, you have the perfect blending of validation of, you know, what's coming to be known as subjective science, this perfect blending that says, yes, you know, this is scientifically validated, what people are experiencing as ET experiencers or as near-death experiencers or as psychics or as mediums. These people, or as healers, also is a big field. That these scientists and consciousness science are giving validity to ET experiencers. So it's gone way beyond the craft in the sky, way beyond, into, you know, as they say, you know, at one point, it's up close and personal. And it's about consciousness. It's about consciousness awareness. It's about living in a multidimensional consciousness. I actually call UFOs because, Lance, if you think about the word unidentified flying object, is that really talking about the unidentified flying object in the sky or in ourselves?
Right.
So what I call them are exoconscious craft, because there's been more than enough evidence that the craft are conscious.
Yes, right. They're living consciousness, and they communicate. Right.
Until we as a society get to that point, we're not going to have the technology. Consciousness science, consciousness itself, and the extraterrestrial presence are strongly linked to ufology and to zero-point energy. So we have to go there. There's no choice. The decision has been made for us, in my opinion.
Well, it's very exciting, and of course, there were many years that came from studying the negative effects of what you do with psychic abilities and psychic and consciousness. And so, unfortunately, we have a history of private research of that is not constructive or expansive in consciousness. And it seems that that kind of research will have to go its own way, because the kind of research that you're talking about is an expansive or an expansion in consciousness and is inclusive and not controlling and not destructive.
Well, would you define a little bit more what aspects you are you speaking more about, a black magic or what? What aspect of consciousness are you?
Well, like, for instance, MK Ultra and black projects that are working on psychic control and using various drugs to bring out psychic control and then to use that for harmful purposes, psychic injuries and psychic assassins and so on and so forth, and super soldiers. They have all that stuff now. And it seems that there's been a an explosion of a negative research regarding anything that might be a potential to harm the, quote, enemy. And there are no enemies. The enemies are within us, so we're fighting with ourselves. And yeah. I think that if once we see that, I think most people do know that, and at least at an intuitive and unconscious level, they do know that. Because the first statement is first do no harm, and there's a reason for that. You harm yourself first. So now you've had numerous contacts with other races, and I think I remember us talking about some very positive experiences you had with reptilians and grays, and my favorite, the mantids.
Right.
Yeah. And we both agreed that there was probably a bad rap around some of those races. And what's some of the information that you can share with us about them, or some of the things that they have shared with you that would give us insight into our own place in the universe and where we're headed?
Well, first I want to backtrack a little bit, and I want to talk about, if it's okay with you, I want to talk about the negative effects that you just mentioned, because this is a very integral part of exoconsciousness. One of the things that exoconsciousness represents is that it represents healthy, integrated, authentic, and I would say loving and grounded experiencers.
Yes.
Now, to get to that point, after all that you've been talking about in terms of mind control, the one hurdle we all share is trauma.
Ah, yes.
Whether it's trauma via mind control, or it's trauma just being somebody like Timothy Glenn that comes to Earth, we're extraterrestrial, we don't feel like we fit in, we want to literally get out of here and get it over with.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I talk about in exoconsciousness is that this is the planet that we're living on now, and help people integrate that into their lives. And John Mack, this was probably the primary, the two primary things of John Mack's work are that first, our reality falls apart, so our worldview fractures. And second, after that fracture, we transform, and we begin to develop, as we've been talking about, what a new reality would look like. Now, just as it so happened, when I lived in Phoenix, Phoenix is kind of a mecca for trauma research, actually. There's a group of people that gathered in Phoenix that were doing state-of-the-art, cutting-edge trauma research. And we could do a whole show just on trauma research. But the bottom line is they have found out that when we are traumatized, it could be a car wreck, it could be your, you know, addicted parent screaming at you, it could be, you know, it's trauma is on a spectrum. It's like autism. You know, nobody talks about autism being just one definitive behavior now. Everything is placed on a spectrum. Trauma is the same thing. Some people are more sensitive and therefore are traumatized more easily. Could be child abuse. It could be violence. Other people, not so much. They don't feel the trauma. But what they found out, Lance, was that when you are traumatized, and this could be because your worldview fell apart and you saw an ET or a UFO, when you are traumatized, your brain literally bleeds and makes a scar.
Interesting.
And so what, I'm sorry?
That's interesting.
So what they've been able to do is look at the trauma array in people's brains. And they can actually tell you what diseases that you're going to develop over your lifetime if you don't heal your trauma. Because, you know, when people talk emotionally about, I'm stuck, I feel stuck, I just can't move forward, that's a trauma response. And what's happening is they're tied in that neural network within their brain, and they keep hitting that scar again and again and again. So they go into the emotional field that caused the scar. They hit the brain, the brain bleed. They hit the scar, and they can't get any further. Well, when John Mack was alive, all that was available to us was talk therapy. We just talked out our traumas. And that did work. That did help people make new neural networks. But today, we are just, I call it trauma in the post-John Mack world. We are so far beyond that today because we have technologies and body movements, tapping therapy, eye therapy, that literally break up those scars in some cases, and in other cases, just help the brain gently move past that trauma scar and develop a healthy pathway. And people's lives change. So I'm an advocate for trauma-free extraterrestrial experiencers and providing that information so people can be trauma-free.
Well, it seems like it would be a necessary step, and even if you want to go way back in time, Barbara Hand Clow talks about catastrophophobia and the trauma that the human species went through. So, you know, we could easily see how that could happen.
It's undoubtedly in our collective unconscious, and the media, you know, we both know the media preys on that collective unconscious where we're all, you know, operating in those trauma scars. They just, our brains just light up with them.
Well, so we seem to be in a strange period, which is a little bit different than I might have thought it would be, and it might have something to do with the idea that you just mentioned, that there's a point where the world falls apart and then it transforms, and that's the also the definition of a near-death experience, that there's a...
Yes.
PMH Atwater said that she found a corollary with near-death experiencers that she related to the whole planet, that we were going through a massive planetary near-death experience and that we would possibly experience that trauma and confusion and chaos that one experiences just before crossing over, having that near-death experience that jars one out of the body. But it does seem that there is something major on the horizon. Do you have any insight into that? I mean, many say that we're moving into a unified brain and that we will be able to connect telepathically. And that these strands of DNA that they say are useless have been in use all the time and will be brought online. And, of course, Bruce Lipton talks about the power of the DNA as well.
Well, interesting enough, Dean Radin just recently published a paper that it's a proven fact that humans are telepathic. He went through 30 years of scientific studies of Gansfield research. We can talk about that more in detail if you want to, what happens in the Gansfield experiment. But it's been proven without a doubt that humans are telepathic. And now the experiments are going into, video game type experiments. But in the old classical 30 years of Gansfield experiments, there's more than enough scientific evidence there to say humans are telepathic. In terms of what you mentioned about things fall apart before they come together in a new reality, I totally agree with that. And it's like somebody was writing about, we're going into the dark night of the soul, but at least we have a soul that can go into the dark night. But one of the interesting researchers in trauma is a man named David Urselli.
Okay.
He was also from Phoenix. He spent 15 years of his life traveling the world, observing and learning about cultures and how they experience trauma. And he came back from that experience and developed a set of six positions that people can place their bodies in that will cause them to shake. Because one of the things that scientists learned about trauma, probably within the last, 10 or 20 years, is that if you shake, you heal. So we have to think about that, in the micro, in our personal life. If David would put soldiers from Afghanistan or Iraq that had PTSD, he'd get a big warehouse and fill it with troops, and he'd teach them these six postures to go into. And what happens is when you hold these yoga postures, your body starts to shake. And if you have a protocol where you're committed to every day, I shake, these soldiers were getting better and they were healing their trauma. You can also heal trauma, of course, by not only by shaking in a physical way, but you can also heal trauma through sound therapy. And a group called Brain State Technology does an absolutely fascinating kind of technology where your brain looks at your brain via a computer and heals itself on a quantum level.
Nice. Very
Stuart Hameroff is looking at microtubules and different kinds of technology where they can stabilize the microtubule to get, to help cure Alzheimer's disease. There's just so much on the horizon right now, but you are so right. If you shake, and this is on the microcosm, but it's a macrocosm, I think it's another way to look at what happens during an earthquake or a tornado or the earth kind of just burping up to these new births that it's making. It shakes and it heals itself. And it scares us when that happens and we get traumatized.
Right. Right.
And we also heal from that.
Well, that certainly would be important if we're going to expand our consciousness into communicating with other consciousnesses. Would you say that there's a very large gap in communicating with an extraterrestrial that needs to be addressed, that we could easily be learning how to do that, understanding how other ET races think and how they communicate?
Well, I'm of the opinion in exoconsciousness that extraterrestrial communication is an innate psychic ability. once again, going back what I guess we've talked about in 2010, I believe that we have a ninth intelligence. I believe that's based on Howard Gardner, who did the multiple intelligences at Harvard. He has eight different types of intelligences that he talks about. I've added a ninth, and I'm actually doing a paper on this for a group in Brazil you might be interested in called, this group does exopsychology in Brazil. Mm. I can send you the information if you're interested. But I believe that that we possess an innate ability. We always have. Humans can relate not just with their brain, which, you know, we can talk about the whole, you know, Obama Brain Initiative, the Bush Brain Initiative, the Genome Project, how those three projects all feed into kind of where we are today scientifically. But beyond the brain, even within our body, we possess a psychic field, you know, through our subtle body also, that naturally gives us the way to communicate with different intelligences. Whether it's an animal or, you know, a horse or an ant, or today I was walking and a deer literally stood in my path and stared at me. Mm. And would not move.
Yeah. I've had it happen so, where I live.
Right. So that's, you know, that's, you know, people that are animal whisperers, that's a natural psychic ability. Now, are some people better at it than others? Some people kind of a little bit more gifted? Yeah, absolutely. But that's true in all of the intelligences, not just psychic intelligence. But we all can learn how to, you know, sing a song and play music. We all can learn how to do a math problem. We all can learn how to read a map and have spatial intelligence. So the same thing would be, we all, to some extent, can learn how to be psychic. And that's the basis for our communication with these extraterrestrial intelligences. And they are intelligences.
Well, it seems that part of that requires some empathy and an ability to put oneself in the other's place.
You are so brilliant. Seriously. You are so brilliant. I just finished doing some work with a scientist that was affiliated with Noetic Science. She's a brilliant, independent scientist. Her name is Carla Gadsmith, and she and I were doing some research on telepathy. That's the first thing that we turned up. Unless you are empathetic, unless you are compassionate, unless you are heart-centered, then you're not going to be telepathic.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like shutting off the switch. You can't override it, and you can't fake it.
Which goes to, you know, the whole, you know, Huxley coined the term transhumanism. It goes to that whole Huxley agenda of transhumanism. You know, you're only going to get so far with a brain. You're only going to get so far with technology. It's just it's self-limiting. It just is. And you know, we can keep trying to push that envelope and try to make a lot of money off of it, but it's self-limiting. And, I mean, look at Timothy's work with the soul. I mean, that's about your heart. Mm-hmm. That's not just about your brain. That's about a whole field that you live in, a whole soul field.
And that seems like those are entirely different experiences that would be created by transhumanism, you know, is one direction that many scientists and researchers seem to be pushing, and the event horizon, and the ones that we're talking about, the exoconsciousness, which require compassion and empathy, that's an entirely different result, and it opens different worlds, and they're not limited, and they may not have anything to do with money or fame or fortune or anything like that. So this world seems to be centered or focused at the moment. I don't know how much longer, But at the moment, it seems to be focused on how much one acquires and how big a piece of the pie you can get. But that's limited by the controllers who control who gets the pieces of the pie.
That's one of the, you know, primary forces is, you know, not only to, you know, make the most money, but also in terms of the whole corporate government structure is that you want to own the innovation. So you want to own the innovators. You want to own the innovation. But
right,
I also feel like there are crossovers that are important between transhumanism, brain science, and consciousness science. I feel like there's information coming forth from both of them. I don't know if you knew, but Deepak Chopra just recently did a $1 million challenge to the skeptic Randy, if he could prove the hard consciousness problem that David Chalmers, the philosopher, came up with. Chalmers said that consciousness is the easy problem and the hard problem. The easy problem is how our brain processes information, how it reacts to stimuli, how it stores information, how it retrieves it, how it categorizes it. But the hard problem is, how does the brain subjectively have an experience? In other words, I could build a brain with all of the cells and the connections that they're doing with the Obama Brain Initiative, but will that brain know it's conscious? And a lot of scientists believe that the brain will know it's conscious. But then I would say, well, you know, we could build a BMW, you know, finest driving machine ever, and does it know it's driving, and does it know what direction it's going in? No. Does the rose know it's red? Does the radio know the music that's coming through it, or the talk that's coming through it? No. So the whole consciousness studies consciousness. That's the tricky place that everyone is in. Consciousness studies consciousness.
Mm.
I mean, that's like the ultimate catch-22.
Yeah.
So it's going to take, in my humble opinion, and I do mean humble, it's going to take scientists, I believe, on both sides of the equation to make sense of all this. And to pull us into this next phase that we're all so eager to go into.
Right, right.
And the ETs are just waiting for us to go.
Well, one thing I've noticed is that there have been a lot of lights where I live. I've been noticing a lot of things that aren't ordinarily there, and I've been kind of communicating with them. So it seems like there are things going on that are very stimulating, and they're not necessarily things that fall into the ordinary category that can be explained.
Well, I agree with that. I don't know if you do you know the researcher Tessie Marsden? Do you know of her?
No, I don't.
She and a woman named Denise Stoner recently did a well done scientific look at people who see UFOs or see lights, and how many of them have actually extraterrestrial experiences as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers was really quite high. So for all these years, you know, MUFON's been looking at the lights in the sky and the craft, and what's actually been happening is people's consciousness has been changing. They've been actually having extraterrestrial experiences that you just don't see a light in the sky, but your worldview, your consciousness changes.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about that's what goes back to where I call them, you know, exoconscious craft, because they are conscious and they're communicating with us.
Mm-hmm. And they do seem to morph and change into different things.
Right.
And a number of different things, and sometimes they unify, and sometimes they separate. And I mean, sometimes I can stand out and just watch for hours. It's amazing.
Well, won't it be interesting when we come to a point, to an exoconscious awareness that these craft are conscious, that they are communicating with us? One of the things I wrote about in my book was, and this is just not me. I mean, there's many, many experiencers who have had this feeling. But I have vivid memories as a child of being on a craft and having my consciousness be one with that craft, to navigate it, to actually propel it in terms of energy, that my consciousness moved that craft. So, you know, we're looking at almost like an embodied state of the person. I won't say human. Let's say intelligent being and the craft, because I think we are moving to that state of being intelligent beings. That the intelligent being and the craft are one, and I kept calling it the consciousness craft. I didn't know what else to call it, and. And something inside of me knew that, you know, we could put together all the nuts and bolts we want to. And, you know, here in D.C., you know, you're around, you know, people with, you know, defense contractors and whatnot. And, you know, they're putting together, you know, the latest and the greatest. But yet, again, until it's like MUFON, until they get that consciousness piece, they're still so far behind. We're still so far behind without that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem that way.
And also far behind with zero-point energy. I think zero-point energy is intimately connected to consciousness and to the extraterrestrial presence. And Edgar Mitchell agrees with this. He speaks of this.
How far along has that come, as far as you know?
Well, what's come at this point is a group of people who are scientifically looking at possible theories and hypotheses regarding how zero-point energy works. I think there's quite an array, actually, available of people that have Bernie Hage, for example, the scientist Bernie Hage, and many, many others. There's a whole zero-point energy conference that, you know, people get together and bring their inventions. So we have kind of the first generation of zero-point energy applications and patents. So I think once we get this consciousness piece worked into it, I think, you know, then that will be moving into the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Well, that sounds good.
It's an exciting field. I think that the government maybe, you know, probably is much further along in zero-point energy than, you know, do you follow the Secret Space Program? You know, Catherine Austin Fitz, Joseph Farrell, that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They talk a lot about, you know, the fact that we are probably much further along with, you know, zero-point energy and space travel than the normal, you know, citizen of the world has been led to believe.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, the research that I've heard and checked into indicates that there's a whole breakaway civilization.
Yeah, Richard Dolan coined that term, breakaway, and, Yeah, Joseph Farrell talks a lot about that. I mean, I'm very much in line with their work. Catherine Austin Fitz is bringing forth the whole economic, you know, sort of the economic for this new reality. It's very impressive what she's doing.
It'll be interesting.
And then again, I have to say that both Dolan and Farrell primarily are once again going to those old sources, you know, military, government, and intelligence. We have to break out of those sources.
Right, right.
And talk to the experiencers.
Right, right. And that's what you do.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I also, there's a man named Ray Hernandez. Have you heard of him? He's in Florida. He's got a group called Free, F-R-E-E.
Oh, no, I don't know yet.
I'll send you that. I'll send you that information also.
Okay, yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm working some with Ray and the Free group, and what they're trying to do is, as MUFON was a database for sightings, now, many of us are saying, you know, was it a database or a black hole? Because what happened to all that information? Did anybody ever say anything with
it?
Or did it just kind of, you know, dump into the black hole of nobody ever does anything with it? So hopefully Free will not become a black hole, but what Free's trying to do is to become a similar database for experiencers. Which is exciting. Ray has a fascinating story as an experiencer. He'd be great on your show.
Oh, well, send me the information and I'll write to him.
Absolutely.
In fact, you mentioned Terry Mansfield the last time, and I failed to for whatever reason, over 3 years, I didn't get a hold of her. So I was listening to the show, and so I wrote her as I was listening to you mentioning it, and I said, you know, Rebecca suggested I get you on the show. I said, it's only taken me 3 years to ask you. Hopefully she'll be on the show soon.
Yeah, she's still working with Edgar. So I'm more representing Edgar here in D.C. when he needs me, but she's been working more. Terry's been working more directly with that. So yeah, she'd be a great guest. Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Be
Well, you know, believe it or not, we have just about come to the end of the show, and I wanted to just give you a moment to, you know, share any, you know, thoughts that you might want to share with the listeners before we sign out, and also let them know where you're at. You're on Facebook, and you have two websites, and let people know where they can find you and get your book also.
Oh, thanks, Lance. Well, my website, as you mentioned earlier, is exoconsciousness.com, and my blog is RebeccaHardcastleWright.com, but you can access my blog through exoconsciousness.com. My book is Exoconsciousness, Your 21st Century Mind, and there's a little survey on my site where if you're an experiencer, click on that survey. I'll send it to you. You know, I'd love to hear about your experiences. I'm also, in the next month or two, going to be launching a global exoconscious teleconference gathering where experiencers from around the world can get on a teleconference once a month and just start to form a community of experiencers. I think that's really important. So that's something
that's
I'm working
wonderful.
On, and I just, working, as I said, on telepathy, writing a paper for the people in exobiology, and I will also send you their information.
Great.
And
great.
I'm on Facebook and Twitter and social media, but I think this is an exciting time. This is the grassroots movement.
As
I say, no one, you know, whether it's, you know, civil rights or women's rights or gay rights, this is about exoconscious rights, in my humble opinion. This is about the extraterrestrial experiencer, you know, standing up and saying, I have rights to speak about what happened to me. I have rights to share my information. I have rights to form community and to create a new reality. This is what my work is all about.
Wonderful. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming back, and I really appreciate you spending time with us and sharing your experience and your information.
Well, thank you. Maybe when I get the Exoconscious teleconference off the ground, maybe we could do another show and talk a little bit about some of the people that are coming into that. I think that would
be
very
wonderful.
Exciting.
Absolutely. All righty. Sounds good.
Thanks, Lance.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.